Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. I hope you're well. We are on the RV tour. Tonight's stop is in El Paso, Texas. I just got to my hotel room, so I wanted to do a couple of videos, talk about what is in the news. I wanted to go over an article from Zero Hedge, and I've been talking about this quite a bit. This is an idea that I got from my buddy Joseph Wang, who used to work at the Fed. He used to run their trading desk at the New York Fed. And I believe he has a blog post on this topic, maybe came out a month ago. And if you haven't checked out his blog, you need to do so. It's one of my favorite. It's at fedguy.com. He had this idea that it's not just about stimmy checks. It's not just about PPP. It's not just about Americans not having to pay their rent or their mortgage. It's also about the gains that we have seen specifically in crypto. And initially, I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, with the stock market, I totally get it. You know, the stock market's at all-time highs. We had these huge gains since the low in March of 2020. Therefore, people have a lot of increased purchasing power that they did not have before. And what's bad about that from an economic standpoint long-term is they haven't increased their level of productivity. In fact, their level of productivity has decreased, not increased. Therefore, we have a larger amount of currency units or dollars that are on the balance sheet of the non-bank entities in the real economy, but we have fewer goods and services that are being produced. Therefore, by definition, we are poorer in aggregate total. Now, there might be some people that have more purchasing power, but in aggregate total as a society, we are poorer. And it's only going to get worse because the things, the economic distortions that have created this environment, this economic environment we see ourselves in today, the policies, quote unquote, that got us to this position, they're only going to continue into the future. And I would argue they're going to continue to expand and become more and more draconian, which means that there are fewer businesses started, more businesses go bust, less employees working, bigger labor shortages, which means not only prices going up, but again, what we were saying earlier, fewer goods and services being produced. One other thing I'd throw in there, just make a note that it's highly probable that the trade deficit continues to go up. I know Biden came out and was talking about spending, $4 billion or something like that on. Or he's talking to Walmart, Target, and Home Depot about strategies that they could use to fix the supply chain disruptions as if they're logistics companies. I understand logistics is part of their business, but that's not their core business. It's obviously retail. So I thought that in and of itself was kind of funny. But we know that these labor shortages are going to continue unless the free market is allowed to work. And if we continue to have these labor shortages, then we'll most likely continue to have these supply chain bottlenecks, and we've moved into this bizarro world where the cure for high prices are no longer high prices because there isn't an ability for additional supply to come online, or there isn't any appetite for CapEx or capital expenditures for capital to move into the increase in supply of things that are labeled bad for the ESG types. But I don't want to get off on too far of a tangent. Let's get back to today's article. 4% of Americans say they have quit their jobs thanks to their crypto gain. So let's look at this article through the lens that we were just using. Now, I know a lot of you think crypto is the greatest thing since sliced bread. With crypto, I usually try to separate Bitcoin with the rest because I don't think you can compare Shiba Inu with Bitcoin. I mean, come on. But with all these other cryptocurrencies that all the people under 30 that are trading and trying to get rich and trying to get 10,000% returns and just ride this wave of momentum, they don't even know what fundamentals are. They don't care if it solves a problem. They don't care if it's going to be here in a year. They don't care if it's not even going to be here in 6 months. All they care about is that it goes up 10% in the next day. The underlying asset is completely irrelevant to them. So you got to think that these kids that, let's say they were making $10, $15 an hour, and now all of a sudden they've done this YOLO trade into Shibu Inu, and they turned that their savings of $2,000, let's say, into $100,000. Well, everyone on this live stream, I'm sure, can remember back to when you were 20 years old. And maybe some people on this live stream are around that age. But you remember $100,000, and you thought you were rich. If you could have $100,000, oh my gosh, I would be set for life. That was an unimaginable amount of money. But as adults, we realize that $100,000, especially if you got a kid and a wife or a husband, or if you got a family, it's not that much. But you can put yourself in the shoes of a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old that's in college or was having to work some sort of job at Costco stocking shelves or something like that. And now all of a sudden they've made $100,000 on Shibu Inu. Their mindset is, yeah, I'll have to go back to work sometime. But right now I'm going to Tulum. I'm going to Tulum, Mexico, and hang out with all those other people that look like they're having the time of their lives on Instagram. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to rent a van and just drive around the United States and rock climb or do something that the kids do on Instagram. I'm going to go rock climbing, and then I'm going to go to Tulum.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So the headline here, 4% of Americans say they have quit their jobs, but this doesn't tell the whole story. Let's look at the data. So 4% say, yes, they have quit their job because of their cryptocurrency gains. 7%, in addition to the 4%, know someone that has. So, I mean, this is affecting a significant portion of the workers that usually work in retail or these jobs where we see increasing amounts of labor shortages. And honestly, I think this number could increase. So I know it's great for the people who made the $100,000 in this example, but unfortunately what they don't realize, and I don't blame them, but what they don't realize is if that happens en masse, if that happens with a large percentage of Americans, their standard of living, even though they think they're richer over time, is actually going to go down. Their purchasing power is going to go down because the amount of goods and services gets lower. Therefore, we have the same demand that brings in more imports, trade balance, or the trade deficit increases. And that means longer term prices go up. It's going to erode the purchasing power of your savings if you're able to save that $100,000 gain in the first place. So it's not just as simple as I made $100,000, therefore I am $100,000 richer and I will be better off over the next 20 years. But again, I don't blame these kids. I don't blame anyone that makes those gains. This is a result of the incentive structure that the Fed has created and the distortions of the economic planners or the central planners. Here's an interesting chart. Have you or someone you know quit your job some point over the last year due to financial freedom earned? Okay, yes, I have. Oh, I see. So now they're breaking down the income groups that make this up. And again, this makes sense because we're seeing so many of these job openings in retail. I mean, every single strip mall I go to, that's all I see. help wanted signs. We just went to Payway, as a matter of fact, for lunch here in El Paso. And even on the receipt that I got after I paid, it said help wanted on the receipt. And it had the URL of a website you could go to fill out an application. But 37% in that $25,000 to $50,000 year income, that doesn't surprise me at all. That makes total sense. So here's active trader, occasional trader. So how people would describe themselves. And it looks like 38% of active traders have traded cryptocurrency. 59% have not. I think they're using this term invested or investing very loosely. That is not how I would define it. This is, wow, this is crazy. So 15%, 14, so 29%, almost 30% of people are planning to invest in cryptocurrency in their 401k. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone should own a little Bitcoin, but I doubt the people that are buying it for their 401k are buying Bitcoin for the same reasons that I would suggest buying it. I think there's a disconnect there. And I think they're probably going to be taking a larger position than I would take for my own personal portfolio. And I think the Fed is pushing people further and further out the risk curve by keeping interest rates artificially low. And I don't blame these people to a certain extent. I mean, a lot of them don't have a choice because they know that, or subconsciously they know, inflation is running running so hot, they've got to do something to maintain or increase their purchasing power. And I think if we're not there already, we could move into a world where the stock market isn't even keeping up with the rate of inflation. So it would be similar to holding cash today, where you're saying to yourself, I don't want to do that because I'm losing so much purchasing power by holding that cash in a bank account that's only paying 20 basis points. Therefore, you have a negative carry on that cash. When you look at the fact that we have negative real yields, when you take a look at that yield, 20 or 30 basis points, you apply inflation, and now you've got a red number there. So my point is, I think we could live in that type of world in the next 6 months, in the next year, or the next 2 years, where even though you might be getting a 10% gain in your stock portfolio or your 401k, you're like, whoa, wait a minute here. Inflation is going up at 20% per year. So even though I'm getting a 10% return on my stocks, I still have a negative real carry. Or I have a negative carry, there's a negative real yield. My purchasing power is decreasing, even though the portfolio is going up in nominal terms. Therefore, what do? You only got one option. If you want to maintain your purchasing power or grow your wealth through investing, is take more and more risk. Well, what do to take more risk? If you're already in stocks, go into Shibu Inu. Go into the latest craze. Buy an NFT, something like that. And every single day, we're seeing more and more stories that reflect this type of attitude or really shed light on the distortions the central planners have created by creating this incentive structure that is so perverse and damaging to the economy long term. Okay, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll see you on the next video.